Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Today is a day that will be long remembered in American history. Really, you are watching and listening to history live today. The hearings of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who was so persuasive, and now Judge Kavanaugh's response are, well, that's all anyone's talking about. I have watched the hearings from 10 a.m. this morning. And you're going to hear them live today. I'm not going to interrupt history. I'm watching right now on CNN. Judge Kavanaugh is walking into the hearing room. I'm going to keep talking until they actually get started. But you won't miss any part of the hearing today. We're not taking phone calls. My view is that this morning was, frankly, more powerful than even I expected it would be. For America to hear firsthand the very credible, sincere testimony of a woman who suffered a sexual assault. It was compelling, it was gripping, it was terrifying, it was tear-inducing. If you haven't heard it, well, you owe it to yourself later today to listen to the testimony in its fullest. The Republicans, knowing that they're a bunch of men, hired an Arizona prosecutor to poke holes in Dr. Ford's argument. The prosecutor, if anything, made Dr. Ford seem more credible. And I know I'm biased here. Everyone knows that. Look it out for yourself. I was even occasionally turning to Fox News, and they were saying how credible she is. And that's got to hurt. I mean, Fox News exists in order to help Donald Trump. That's why it exists. And the fact that even they were saying we're credible shows what a hurdle he's going to have to overcome. All right, he's walking right now. He's about to sit down in the chair. I will be playing for you from CNN, and I'll be commenting throughout so that you can get my views as these things, as the hearing goes forth. Lots of thoughts, and I'll convey what I can to you. If we don't have time today, because the hearing's ongoing, I will definitely discuss everything on Monday and invite you to call in on Monday as well. All right, he sat down, and it looks like they're about to get started.
I have something I want to clear up from the last meeting that doesn't affect
Chairman
you.
That's Chairman Chuck Grassley Judge Kavanaugh.
I would like to explain my response to Senator Kennedy right after the break. At that time,
remember,
I entered into the record the statements
I'll talk
of
sometimes
three
when
witnesses,
it's not compelling,
Dr. Ford
but
said.
Chairman Grassley, remember, only gave each senator
These
5 minutes.
These statements were provided to
and
us
ironically, it was the prosecutor complaining about the process, saying that 5 minutes
Congress,
was not time
as
enough.
As soon as my team
this is all
learned
just,
the names
preliminary
of these
stuff.
Three potential witnesses, we immediately reached out to them requesting an interview.
Basically, Grassley right now is explaining
response,
why he will not let the other people
statements to us
who want to testify against
the,
Kavanaugh.
Dr. Ford described.
So what he's doing right now, actually, again, he won't let the other people who've complained about sexual harassment testify. He's now explaining that the witnesses, including the eyewitness, the critical eyewitness, Mark Judge, saying that he will not call Mark Judge to testify. Obviously, Grassley knows that he will wither under cross-examination. He's explaining that he simply is giving an affidavit. Of course, in any criminal procedure, any court procedure, that would never be sufficient. People have to submit to cross-examination. And there's a reason why Mark Judge doesn't. Mark Judge has a long history. He has several people who have alleged that he himself has been involved in gang rape. This is Brett Kavanaugh's close friend in school. Critical. But think about it. Most sexual assault allegations, there is no eyewitness in the room. And in this case, there is one. So no one is more critical than this guy, Mark Judge, who has his own history of misogyny and blackout drunk. He wrote two books, by the way, on why he's a blackout drunk. And he's now hiding in Delaware. All right. They're about to call Kavanaugh and put him under oath.
That the testimony you're about to give before the committee will be the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Yeah. And like we offered to Senator or to Dr. Ford, you can take whatever time you want now for your opening statement. Then we'll go to questions. So proceed.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Feinstein, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to make my statement. I wrote it myself yesterday afternoon and evening. No one has seen a draft or it except for one of my former law clerks. This is my statement.
Now, they made her show her draft ahead of time. That's a distinction. They didn't make him do that.
Dr. Ford publicly accused me of committing wrongdoing at an event more than 36 years ago.
He sounds
angry. When we
were
both in high school. I denied the allegation immediately, categorically, and unequivocally. All four people allegedly at the event, including Dr. Ford's longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, have said they recall no such event. Her longtime friend, Ms. Kaiser, said under penalty of felony that she does not know me and does not believe she ever saw me at a party ever. Here is the quote from Ms. Kaiser's attorney's letter. Quote, simply put, Ms. Kaiser does not know Mr. Kavanaugh, and she has no recollection of ever being at a party or gathering where he was present, with or without Dr. Ford. End quote. Think about that fact.
He's not saying his relationship. Did he know Dr. Ford?
The day
Ford?
After the allegation appeared, I told
about
this committee
other people first. Interesting.
That I wanted a hearing as soon as possible to clear my name. I demanded a hearing for the very next day.
Yes, but he opposes an investigation.
Unfortunately, it took the committee 10 days to get to this hearing. In those 10 long days, as was predictable and as I predicted, my family and my name have been totally and permanently destroyed by vicious and false additional accusations. The 10-day delay has been harmful to me and my family, to the Supreme Court, and to the country. When this allegation first arose, I welcomed any kind of investigation.
Yeah, why don't you
Senate,
welcome it now?
FBI or otherwise.
Yeah. Then
the
have
committee
one.
Now has conducted a thorough investigation and
Bull.
I've cooperated fully.
Bull.
I know that any kind of investigation, Senate, FBI, Montgomery County Police, whatever, will clear me.
Then have one.
Listen to the people I know. Listen to the people who have known me my whole life. Listen to the people I've grown up with and worked with and played with and coached with and dated and taught and gone to games with, and
okay.
had beers
Democrats
with.
Need to ask if he'd support an investigation right
listen
now.
Listen to the witnesses who allegedly were at this event 36 years ago. Listen to Ms. Kaiser. She does not know me.
Do you know her?
I was not at the party described by Dr. Ford. This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role in the confirmation process, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy. Since my nomination in July,
this reminds
there's
me
been
Clarence
a frenzy
Thomas.
On the left to come up with something, anything, to block my confirmation.
Really? Why didn't they do it for Gorsuch or Alito
Shortly
or Roberts? They
I was
didn't accuse them of sexual
the Democratic
harassment.
The Senate leader said he would, quote, oppose me with everything he's got.
Yes, because of your views.
A Democratic senator on this committee publicly referred to me as evil. Evil. Think about that word. And said that those who supported me were, quote, complicit in evil. Another Democratic senator on this committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh is your worst nightmare.
Well,
a
he's someone who likes to attack
Democratic
vulnerable people.
A former head of the Democratic National Committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come.
I think that's actually true. Given that he
opposes
healthcare.
I understand the passions of the moment, but I would say to those senators, your words have meaning. Millions of Americans listened carefully to you. given comments like those, is it any surprise that people have been willing to do anything to make any physical threat against my family?
What were the physical threats?
To send any violent email to my wife, to make any kind of allegation against me and against my friends, to blow
any
me
kind
up
of allegation
and take me down.
Are you suggesting that Dr. Ford is lying?
You sowed the wind for decades to come.
Really? Because we said terrible things about Gorsuch too, but he didn't have allegations of sexual assault.
The behavior of several of the Democratic members of this committee at my hearing a few weeks ago was an embarrassment. But at least it was just a good old-fashioned.
You were an embarrassment. You didn't answer any of the questions.
Those efforts didn't work. When I did at least okay enough at the hearings that it looked like I might actually get confirmed, a new tactic was needed.
Wow. He's calling
Dr.
Ford a liar.
Some of you were lying in wait and had it ready.
Oh, the Democrats put her up to it in 2012?
This first allegation was held in secret for weeks by a Democratic member of this committee and by staff. It would be needed only if you couldn't take me out on the merits.
This is not succeeding.
When it was needed, this allegation was unleashed and publicly deployed.
Poor you.
Dr. Ford's
Poor
wishes.
You. All you want to do is be in charge of women's reproductive rights for hundreds of millions of Americans.
And no doubt was expected, if not planned.
What were you doing in high
came
school?
A long series of false last-minute smears.
What was false?
Designed to scare me.
Yeah, what's true and what's false?
Drive me out of the process.
Tell us what's true and what's false.
Before any hearing occurred. Crazy stuff. Gangs, illegitimate children, fights on boats in Rhode Island.
I didn't hear anything about illegitimate children.
All nonsense. Reported breathlessly and often uncritically by the media.
That's not true. People said that you were a drunk and you were incoherently drunk. Is that true or false?
My good name. A good name
Answer
but
the
a,
real
built up
allegations.
Through decades of very hard work and public service at the highest levels of the American government. This whole two-week effort has been a calculated and orchestrated political hit, fueled with
apparent pent-up anger about
President Trump and the
really?
2016
so
election.
So Dr. Ford in 2012 was planning
fear
this?
Fear that has been unfairly
they knew stoked Trump
about
would be
my
elected?
Judicial record.
Come on.
Revenge on behalf of the Clintons.
No one believes this.
And millions of dollars in money from outside left-wing opposition groups.
Oh, my God. Answer the accusations.
This is a circus.
He's doing what Clarence Thomas did.
The consequences will extend long past my nomination. The consequences will be with us for decades.
The consequences are that sexual assault survivors will be afraid to speak out.
This grotesque and coordinated character assassination will dissuade competent and good people of all political persuasions from serving our country.
I got to take a break from the radio show. I'll keep playing
know,
it for the Facebook audience. We'll be
in
back
the United
shortly.
States political Dr. Ford.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine.
By some person.
We are listening
in some
to Judge Kavanaugh
at some time. But I have never done this to her or to anyone. That's not who I am. It is not who I was. I am innocent of this charge.
Let's talk about your drinking habits.
I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers, and little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, "We should pray for the woman." It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will. First, let's start with my career. For the last 26 years, since 1992, I've served in many high-profile and sensitive government positions for which the FBI has investigated my background six separate times.
But that's different. We know
six
FBI investigations.
Six separate FBI background
they
investigations.
They didn't know about this.
Over 26 years, all of them after the event alleged here. I have been in the public arena and under extreme public scrutiny for decades.
I'll talk Monday about FBI investigations.
In 1992, I worked for the Office of Solicitor General in the Department of Justice. In 1993, I clerked on the Supreme Court for Justice Anthony Kennedy. I spent 4 years in the Independent Counsel's office during the 1990s. That office was the subject of enormous scrutiny from the media and the public. During 1998, the year of the impeachment of President Clinton, our office generally, and I personally, were in the middle of an intense national media and political spotlight. I and other leading members of Ken Starr's office were opposition researched from head to toe.
Yeah, you wanted all the details of everything Bill Clinton had done sexually.
Recall the people who were exposed that year of 1998 as having engaged in some sexual wrongdoing or indiscretions in their past. One person on the left even paid $1 million for people to report evidence of sexual wrongdoing, and it worked. He exposed some prominent people. Nothing about me.
You weren't in the public eye.
From 2001 to 2006, I worked for President George W. Bush in the White House. As staff secretary, I was by President Bush's side for 3 years and was entrusted with the nation's most sensitive secrets. I traveled on Air Force One all over the country and the world with President Bush. I went everywhere with him, from Texas to Pakistan, from Alaska to Australia, from Buckingham Palace to the Vatican. 3 years in the West Wing, 5.5 years in the White House.
Would you be this angry if you were falsely accused?
I was then nominated to be a judge on the D.C. Circuit. I was thoroughly vetted by the White House, the FBI, the American Bar Association, and this committee. I sat before this committee for 2 thorough confirmation hearings in 2004 and 2006.
Where you're accused of committing perjury. In those hearings.
For the past 12 years leading up to my nomination for this job, I've served in a very public arena as a federal judge on what is often referred to as the second most important
Not
court
that
in the
public.
Country.
Name two judges on D.C. Court of Appeals.
I've handled some of the most significant and sensitive cases affecting the lives and liberties of the American people. I have been a good judge. And for this nomination, another FBI background investigation. Another American Bar Association investigation. 31 hours of hearings.
Are you willing to have
65
an investigation
senator meetings,
on these charges?
1,200 written questions. More than all previous Supreme Court nominees combined. Throughout that entire time.
Yeah, but you only gave 10%
throughout
of your papers.
53 years and 7 months on this earth until last week. No one ever accused me of any kind of sexual misconduct. No one ever. A lifetime of public service and a lifetime of high-profile public service at the highest levels of American government, and never a hint of anything of this kind. And that's because nothing of this kind ever happened.
All right, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take another break again. I will continue live feed
Second,
on Facebook Live.
Let's turn to specifics.
Facebook.com/MarkLivingTalk. I'll be right back in 4 minutes on the radio.
I categorically and unequivocally deny the
on
allegation
Facebook,
against
keep
me
listening.
By Dr. Ford. I never had any sexual or physical encounter of any kind with Dr. Ford. I never attended a gathering.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, listening to Judge Kavanaugh's testimony today. Historic moment.
In ninth grade in 1980, I started keeping calendars of my own. For me also, it's both a calendar and a diary. I've kept such calendars, diaries for the last 38 years. Mine are not as good as my dad's in some years. And when I was a kid, the calendars are about what you would expect from a kid. Some goofy parts, some embarrassing parts. But I did have the summer of 1982 documented pretty well. The event described by Dr. Ford presumably happened on a weekend because I believe everyone worked and had jobs in the summers. And in any event, a drunken early evening event of the kind she describes presumably happened on a weekend.
I don't know about that.
If it
she
was
also says
a weekend,
it happened in the spur of the moment.
My calendars show that I was out of town almost every weekend night before football training camp started in late August. The only weekend nights that I was in D.C. were Friday, June 4, when I was with my dad at a pro golf tournament.
She said she had swim practice. That makes me think it wasn't a weekend. That makes me think it was a weekday.
And had my high school achievement test at 8:30 the next morning. I also was in D.C. on Saturday night, August 7th. But I was at a small gathering at Becky's house in Rockville with Matt, Denise, Lori, and Jenny. Their names are all listed on my calendar. I won't use their last names here. And then on the weekend of August 20 to 22nd, I was staying at the Garretts with Pat and Chris as we did final preparations for football training camp that began on Sunday the 22nd.
Interesting that he
as the calendars confirm.
Allow the Democrats to see what he wrote
that
first,
weekend before a brutal football training camp schedule was no time for parties. So let me emphasize this point. If the party described by Dr. Ford happened in the summer of 1982 on a weekend night, my calendar shows all but definitively that I was not there.
When was swim practice?
During the weekdays in the summer of 1982, as you can see, I was out of town for 2 weeks of the summer for a trip to the beach with friends and at the legendary five-star basketball camp in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. When I was in town, I spent much of my time working out, lifting weights, playing basketball, or hanging out and having some beers with friends as we talked about life and football and school and girls. Some have noticed that I didn't have church on Sundays on my calendars. I also didn't list brushing my teeth. And for me, going to church on Sundays was like brushing my teeth. Automatic. Still is. In the summer of 1981, I had worked construction. In the summer of 1982, my job was cutting lawns. I had my own business of sorts. You see some specifics about the lawn cutting listed on the August calendar page. When I had to time the last lawn cuttings of the summer of various lawns before football training camp. I played in a lot of summer league basketball games for the Georgetown
Prep team.
Please
ask if he's altered the calendar since 1982.
At Blair High School in Silver Spring.
Basic question I would ask.
Many nights I worked out with other guys at Tobin's house.
Tell us about Mark Judge.
He was the great quarterback on our football team. And his dad ran workouts. Or lifted weights at Georgetown Prep in preparation for the football season. I attended and watched many sporting events, as is my habit to this day. The calendars show a few weekday gatherings at friends' houses after a workout or just to meet up and have some beers.
That's when I think.
But none of those gatherings included the group of people that Dr. Ford has identified. And as my calendars show, I was very precise about listing who was there. Very precise.
Really?
And keep in mind, my calendars also were diaries of sorts, forward-looking and backward-looking, just like my dad's. You can see, for example, that I crossed out missed workouts and the canceled doctor's appointments, and that I listed the precise people who had shown up for certain events.
I cross out.
The calendars are obviously not dispositive on their own, but they are another piece of evidence in the mix for you to consider. Fifth. Dr. Ford's allegation is radically inconsistent with my record and my character from my youth to the present day. As students at an all-boys Catholic Jesuit school, many of us became friends and remain friends to this day
with
students at local Catholic all-girls schools. One feature of my life that has remained true to the present day is that I've always had a lot of close female friends. I'm not talking about girlfriends. I'm talking about friends who are women.
Yeah, what about Renate? Good point.
That started in high school.
The woman that you accused of being
maybe
a slut.
Maybe it was because I'm an only child and had no sisters.
Oh, Democrats.
But anyway, we had no social media or text or email, and we talked on the phone. I remember talking almost every night, it seemed, to my friends Amy or Julie. Or Kristen, or Karen, or Suzanne, or Maura, or Megan, or Nikki. The list goes on. Friends for a lifetime, built on a foundation of talking through school and life, starting at age 14. Several of those great women are in the seats right behind me today.
What about Renate? Why isn't she there?
My friends and I sometimes got together and had parties on weekends. The drinking age was 18 in Maryland.
That's not true.
For most of my time in high school, and was 18 in D.C. for all of my time in high school.
It's not true.
I drank beer with my friends.
Not in Maryland.
Almost everyone did. Sometimes I had too many beers. Sometimes others did.
Hope someone researched that.
I liked beer. I still like beer. But I did not drink beer to the point of blacking out, and I never sexually assaulted anyone. There is a bright line between drinking beer, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace, and sexually assaulting someone, which is a violent crime. If every American who drinks beer, or every American who drank beer in high school, is suddenly presumed guilty of sexual assault, we'll be in an ugly new place in this country. I never committed sexual assault. As high school students, we sometimes did goofy or stupid things. I doubt we are alone in looking back at high school and cringing at some things. For one thing, our yearbook was a disaster. I think some editors and students wanted the yearbook to be some combination of Animal House, Caddyshack, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which were all recent movies at that time. Many of us went along in the yearbook to the point of absurdity. This past week...
Just for the record, Maryland's drinking
my
age...
My friends and I have cringed.
...was never 18 when he was 18. He was 21. He was raised from 18 to 21 when he was 17 years old. So he's wrong about that.
When we read about it and talked to each other...
DC's, for the record, was still 18, so he's right about that. I just looked it up.
One thing in particular we're sad about. One of our good... One of our good female friends who we would admire and went to dances with had her name used on the yearbook page with the term alumnus.
Yeah, talk about Renate.
That yearbook reference was clumsily intended to show affection and that she was one of us. But in this circus, the media has interpreted the term as related to sex. It was not related to sex. As the woman herself noted to the media on the record, she and I never had any sexual interaction at all.
No, but it didn't stop you from abusing her, did it?
So sorry to her for that yearbook reference.
Affection? Really? Really? Really?
This may sound a bit trivial, given all that we are here for, but one thing I want to try to make sure of in the future is my friendship with her. She was and is a great person. As to sex, this is not a topic I ever imagined would come up at a judicial confirmation hearing, but I want to give you a full picture of who I was. I never had sexual intercourse or anything close to it. during high school or for many years after that. In some crowds, I was probably a little outwardly shy about my inexperience. Tried to hide that. At the same time, I was also inwardly proud of it. For me and the girls who I was friends with, that lack of major or rampant sexual activity in high school was a matter of faith and respect and caution. The committee has a letter from 65 women who knew me in high school.
Yeah, Renati's taking her name off that letter. She said so. She said she would no longer sign that letter. Several women, by the way, have said that they would no longer sign that letter.
They said that I always treated them with dignity and respect.
Of course, there may be
hundreds, that letter came
millions
together
of women
in
he's
one
not
night,
assaulted.
35 years after graduation, while a sexual assault allegation was pending against me in a very fraught and public situation where they knew they'd be vilified if they defended me. Think about that. They put themselves on the line for me.
He could just have admitted it was a sick joke on Renate.
Those are some awesome women.
They were calling her a slut, and he wishes he hadn't done it. Now, that I'd believe.
You also have a letter from women who knew me in college.
I'm afraid I'm going to take one more break, folks. We'll keep playing it for the Facebook audience. For the radio audience, I'll be back in 4 minutes.
Friends and equals, and supported them in their sports at a time when women's sports was emerging in the wake of Title IX.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're still hearing Judge Kavanaugh's opening statement.
For women lawyers. And they wrote that the legal profession is fairer and more equal because of me. In my time on the bench, no federal judge, not a single one in the country, has sent more women law clerks to clerk on the Supreme Court than I have.
It's all commendable. It's interesting, though.
Before this allegation arose 2 weeks ago,
they forced Dr. Ford to deliver her.
I was required to start making certain administrative preparations for my possible transfer to the Supreme Court, just in case I was confirmed. As part of that, I had to, in essence, contingently hire a first group of four law clerks who could be available to clerk at the Supreme Court for me on a moment's notice. I did so and contingently hired four law clerks. All four are women. If confirmed, I'll be the first justice in the history of the Supreme Court to have a group of all women law clerks. That is who I am. That is who I was. Over the past 12 years, I've taught constitutional law to hundreds of students, primarily at Harvard Law School, while I was hired by then Dean and now Justice Elena Kagan. One of my former women students, a Democrat, testified to this committee that I was an even-handed professor who treats people fairly and with respect.
Again, I'll have a lot to say on Monday, folks.
In a letter to
Make
this
sure
committee, my
for
former
that.
Students, male and female alike, wrote that I displayed a character that impressed us all. I love teaching law, but thanks to what some of you on this side of the committee have unleashed, I may never be able to teach again. For the past 7 years, I've coached my two daughters'
basketball
teams.
How can you blame the Democrats for Dr. Ford's accusation?
You saw many of those girls when they came to my hearing for a couple of hours.
They didn't write the accusation.
You have a letter from the parents of the girls I coached that described my dedication, commitment, and character. I coach because I know that a girl's confidence on the basketball court translates into confidence in other aspects of life.
He does remind me very much of Clarence Thomas and the way he responded to Anita Hill.
I love coaching more than anything I've ever done in my whole life. But thanks to what some of you on this side of the committee have unleashed,
what have they done?
I may never be able to coach again.
What have they done? They made Dr. Ford say that you did it in 2012? What?
I've been a judge for 12 years. I have a long record of service to America and to the Constitution. I revere the Constitution. I am deeply grateful to President Trump for nominating me. He was so gracious to my family and me on the July night he announced my nomination at the White House. I thank him for his steadfast support. When I accepted the president's nomination, Ashley and I knew this process would be challenging. We never expected that it would devolve into this. Explaining this to our daughters has been about the worst experience of our lives. Ashley has been a rock. I thank God every day for Ashley and my family. We live in a country devoted to due process and the rule of law.
Yes. So why won't
that
you have an investigation?
Allegations seriously.
Why not let the witnesses testify? Why are you preventing them from telling their stories?
Allegation, the mere assertion of an allegation, a refuted allegation from 36 years ago.
No, there's not one. There's several.
Is enough to destroy a person's life.
No, then have an investigation.
Career.
Have full witness testimony.
We all abandon the basic principles of fairness.
Ask
and due
Mark
process.
Judge to testify. You can have a full hearing.
System
ask for one.
In our country.
You can't complain about the very hearing that you're not allowing to occur.
To judge me by the standard that you would want applied to your father.
I want the standard applied
husband,
to me. If I'm falsely accused, I want a full investigation.
Your brother. Or your son.
I'd want a full investigation. I'd want to cross-examine the witnesses that I thought were telling an untruth. I'd
my
want my friends
to
testify.
My family and I intend no ill will toward Dr. Ford or her family.
You just said she's a Democratic ploy.
But I swear today, under oath, before the Senate and the nation, before my family and God, I am innocent of this charge.
Thank you, Judge Kavanaugh. Before we start questions, I won't repeat what I said this morning, but we'll do it the same way as we did for Dr. Ford, and 5-minute rounds. And so we will start with Ms. Mitchell.
I'll have a lot to talk about on Monday, folks. We're going to go through this in detail.
We
only got to have
met
about a minute of
my
this.
My name is Rachel Mitchell. I'd like to go over a couple
of
guidelines.
I'm sure many of you are
going to
want to keep watching
our,
this after I'm no longer on radio.
Question and answer session today.
This is a moment.
If
that,
I ask a question.
Let me just, I'm going to turn it down now because it's about over. Let me just say this. How Republicans respond to Dr. Ford, how they respond to credible allegations of sexual assault, will define the Republican Party for a generation. They need to take it seriously. And the way for Brett Kavanaugh to take it seriously, if he is innocent, is to demand a full investigation where everyone connected to this, from his friend Mark Judge to Rinalte, the woman he mistreated in the yearbook, everyone should be able to fully testify. That's how trials work, my friends. You have a Sixth Amendment right in a trial to compel witnesses to testify. And if people refuse to testify, you can take, in a non-criminal case, you can take their silence against them. We'll be talking on Monday in detail. I'm going to head off and watch the rest of the hearings. I advise you do the same. Hope you enjoyed the Inside Scoop. Again, on the air Monday at 3 p.m., take your phone calls. We're going to have a full discussion of what just happened and is continuing to happen on this historic day in the United States. This is Mark Levine, signing off.